From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, yep, those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And at the end of the program tonight, you get a little surprise. I'm debuting my singing career. That's right. I'm doing it at the end of the show for fear that if I did it earlier, you'd all leave. So stand by for that. Here's what's happening. Two studies showing how scientists mutated the H5N1 bird flu into a virus that could create a human pandemic will be made public eventually, but a moratorium will remain for biosecurity officials to assess these risks. Speaking after a high-level meeting of flu experts and U.S. security officials in Geneva, a WHO spokesperson said an agreement has been reached in principle to publish the controversial work, but only after deeper risk analysis have been carried out. A man has been arrested near the Capitol building as part of an anti-terror investigation. The 29-year-old man is said to be an illegal immigrant from Morocco. Officials said the man thought he was heading to carry out a suicide attack on the Washington, D.C. Capitol building. He was closely and carefully monitored for weeks, and then they picked him up. In Canada, the long-gone registry has met its end, 17 years after becoming the law of the land there. As expected, the majority conservative government voted in support of Bill C-19, killing the registry, which the party and rural Canada have rallied against since it became law in 1995. John Lott, the senior research scientist at the University of Maryland, also the author of More Guns, Less Crime, and The Bias Against Guns. John, what does this mean, first of all, getting rid of this registry? What was it for in the first place?
It means the Canadians are going to be saving a lot of money that they were spending on this. In theory, if a criminal has a gun registered them and they commit a crime and they leave the gun at the crime scene, then police, in theory, can trace it back to the criminal and arrest them. Problem is that criminals virtually never use registered guns, and when they are registered, they're not registered to the person who commits the crime. And when they're left at the crime scene, it's because the criminal's either been seriously wounded or killed, and so they're going to catch the guy anyway. And so when you go back over the data, you find that the Canadian government hasn't found one single crime that they've solved as a result of the long gun registry.
So it's all gone now.
Yeah, they've spent $2.7 billion, about $120 million a year just to keep the program running. They could have spent that and hired about 2,300 police officers around the country each year, which we know would have reduced crime by a lot, maybe 2,000 violent crimes a year. And instead, they spent it on this thing, which, you know, it hasn't worked anyplace. We've seen licensing and registration in Hawaii. We've seen it in other countries. And time after time, you see money spent without crimes being solved.
The battle against this registry, John, claims that law-abiding shooters, hunters, farmers were being treated as if they were common criminals. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it imposes not only costs on the government, it imposes large costs on the law-abiding citizens, too. The fees and other things that they have to pay for this. But somebody had registered their guns in the home, you'd have SWAT teams go in order to handle any call from the house there. I mean, they assumed that if somebody had a gun that they had registered, they were, you know, any call to the house would be treated as, you know, a violent crime was imminent. And the guys who would go and register their guns would be the guys who would be the most law-abiding citizens around to begin with.
Sure.
So they were just wasting all sorts of money on that end also.
Criminals aren't going to register, are they?
I don't see them doing it.
Thank you, John. John's blog, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Well, the Postal Service, they're thinking of raising the price of a first-class postage stamp now to 50 cents. The post office facing financial losses up to $18.2 billion a year by 2015 wants to charge more for Saturday delivery as well. The 50-cent stamp would represent an 11% increase in postal rates. They're just pushing folks to pay their bills on the internet. The more they increase these stamps, that's what's going to happen. WorldNet Daily's reporter, Jerry Corsi, he's got a major story that he reported on here and in WorldNet Daily, and that was money laundering charges against the banking giant HSBC. But it has resulted in some shocking fallout, not only for WorldNet Daily, but for Jerry Corsi as well. Jerry, welcome. First of all, what happened to WorldNet Daily? What did they try to do?
Well, WorldNet Daily went through an attack by HSBC. HSBC's lawyers tried to take my stories down from the internet. They went to our top internet service provider saying that we had published HSBC customer records, violating privacy. Of course, our lawyers at WND intervened and showed that we redacted all the personal information so it was impossible to detect who the customers were. We were just showing the pattern of activity within the accounts. And within 3 hours, we had the articles put back up on the internet. But it was very interesting to see the aggressiveness with which HSBC's attorneys tried to get these articles I've written on their alleged money laundering activity wiped from the internet.
And then what happened to you?
Well, then Guilford Securities, where I've had my licenses in New York, terminated my employment at Guilford Securities. They terminated my registration. They were so upset that I had investigated money laundering in a financial institution that the chairman just said I had to leave the firm, which was amazing to me because I thought, given money laundering statutes, I ought to be commended for, you know, I found evidence of money laundering at HSBC, a whistleblower, credible whistleblower, brought to us 1,000 pages of account records demonstrating millions of dollars wired in and wired out of accounts that were set up by identity theft. And I reported on it. I thought Guilford Securities or any firm ought to applaud the efforts because that's what the Patriot Act and other legislation regarding financial services requires anyone in financial services to do once you're aware of suspicious activity.
Were they civil in their dismissal of you, Jerry? What? How did they handle it?
Well, I mean, it was I was called to the president's office, and the chairman and I had a discussion with the president present, and basically saying that my writing and investigating other firms on money laundering was out of bounds. And, of course, I fully disclosed my activities as a reporter to the firm to begin with.
Sure.
The firm knew that that's what I did when they hired me. And I've written about financial services. I wrote a Red Alert newsletter for years and continue to do that and investigate various aspects of financial services. But as soon as I touched on money laundering with HSBC, Guilford Securities, really, it's like their wires all fried. And I have no explanation for why it happened. It was just a shock to me. I mean, I know there's always fallout as an investigative reporter. When I report stories, you never know what the consequences are going to be. And often there's a lot of personal risk involved in reporting, but I never expected to lose my employment at Guilford Securities because I published these stories.
Jerry, we'll talk with you next week about Iran. I suspect things are truly heating up there, okay?
I agree, and I look forward to it.
Jerry Corsi. Up next, we talk about nightmares. Have you had any? Well, Nicole Sebastian talks with us about that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Nicole Sebastian, president, co-founder of the Divine Guidance Institute and Wellness Center. She and her husband, Michael, known as the Dream Team. She's been on the program before. We're going to talk this hour and next about nightmares, bad dreams. And welcome back, Nicole. How are you?
Oh, hi, George. Very well. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Nothing worse, though, than a nightmare, is there?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Why do people
wake up? You know, you wake up from that nightmare and the heart's pounding and you're sweating and filled with anxiety. Oh, it's awful.
What do they mean?
A strong message coming through, to be honest with you. A message to get your life in order in some way. And once it's interpreted or decoded, the nightmare never returns.
So you think it's something that's going on in our life, something that's uneasy, it's more of a warning signal?
Absolutely. And very simple at that. It's nothing profound, just real simple. It could even be that you're procrastinating, you know, about a project at work. Or you know, something as drastic as maybe your spouse is having an affair. And it's trying to get a message through to you.
Does it react based on events that are happening in your life that you know of? Or does it react with events that you might not even be aware of?
I believe we're all aware at some level, even if it's the subconscious.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah, something that is occurring. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And could it be also we had something bad to eat that night and we go to sleep?
You know, I hear that a lot. And most often there is a correlation. However, I think it's more just that it happened to work out that way and that the food didn't really trigger the nightmare.
Nicole, are nightmares healthy? Are they good?
Yes, once decoded properly. Absolutely. Because they get your attention. That's the whole point.
They do get your attention. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it about the body? What is it about the mind that creates this kind of mechanism to warn us about things?
Well, I'm coming from a soul perspective, George, and from that perspective, soul has a 24/7, 360-degree viewpoint at all times. It doesn't. It's not dictated by time. There is no past, present, or future, which is why we can dream of the future as well as dreaming of the past. But within that dream or nightmare is a pearl of wisdom of some sort to help you now in your current life.
Explain.
Well, you might have a dream of getting a speeding ticket.
Okay.
And this is actually, you know, as I share stories with you tonight, they are all true. They're all from recent clients, as a matter of fact. A client had a dream of getting a speeding ticket and didn't pay attention to the dream, warning, and 1 week later got a speeding ticket. It could be as simple as that. And, you know, we could go to the other end of the spectrum. Another client had a dream that her spouse was cheating on her. And she came to find out about 3 weeks later that, in fact, that was the case.
But she must have seen things prior to that dream.
Absolutely. And, you know, I like to call it the ancient way of knowing. It's like, how do you truly know something? Well, certainly, you know, we have our mind, our mental, you know, capabilities of knowing things, of the pros and cons and whatnot. But if you take it a step further through intuition, dreams and signs, to me, that's a foolproof confirmation of methodology to know something 100% of the time.
Do we want to stop our nightmares, Nicole, or just let them happen?
Well, the more we're in alignment with our true purpose, I believe, and soul and whatnot, the nightmares naturally dissipate. The more nightmares we have, they're an indicator of how our life is not in order as it could be, George.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
So let them happen.
Let them happen, clean up your act, and they'll go away.
Are they prophetic dreams?
Oh, yes. I have been tracking dreams via a journal for approximately 20 years. And what I have come to know, George, is that about 90% of my dreams, and clients' dreams as well, are prophetic. And the way you come to know this is by journaling the dream and then dream tracking, I call it. You review your journal every 3 to 6 months for prophetic content, and you will come to know that 90% of those dreams were indeed prophetic. It's amazing.
If you can go back and look at what you wrote, it does start to make sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And this whole thread, this whole thing just reveals itself. It's really really amazing.
What are the ranges of the prophetic dreams? How far reaching are they?
In terms of time or in terms of events?
Events. Well, I mean, are they big events, little events? Are they worldwide or little things that just affect our own lives?
Typically, they're about our own world, our own reality, because we have too much to worry about in our own world, let alone worldly events and whatnot. So most often they're going to be about what's going on in our life, you know, at this current time. And I'll give you a couple of quick dreams.
Sure.
You know, I bounced back and forth from Detroit to L.A. And I was in L.A., and I had a dream that a girl with short, dark hair moved to Detroit. And at that time of that dream, I had long blonde hair, which I've had for most of my life.
Okay.
So I thought, who's this girl? You know, short, dark hair moves to Detroit. Well, I journaled the dream, and I dismissed it. I couldn't make sense of that one, but I did journal it. And then 6 months later, well, actually 3 months later, I cut my hair. And then a month after that, I dyed it brown, brunette. I did not recall this dream, George. I had no recollection of it.
You forgot all about it, didn't you?
Totally. 2 months after cutting and dyeing my hair, Michael and I moved back to Detroit. I still did not remember this dream. And it was only through dream tracking, after we arrived here, about a month we were here, and I reviewed my journal, and there was the dream. Girl with short, dark hair moves to Detroit. The girl was me, George, and I had no clue at the time of the dream.
Do you think sometimes the dream plants the seed in your brain?
That's a good question. Very good question. Actually, no, I think it's a precursor, a warning, a message of things to come. I don't think one happens, a dream happens, and then you follow through that way. At least that has been my experience, George, through dream tracking, is that I had no clue about moving to Detroit or dyeing my hair, you know, this type of thing. And then I had the dream, and then it unraveled that way. It revealed itself.
I was born in Detroit, you know.
I know.
So where are you live? What city are you in now?
Right now, I'm in Sterling Heights.
Know it well. That's up east.
Up east.
I was in Farmington Hills, Dearborn Heights, Dearborn. Great here. How's the city? Is it coming back?
It wants to, desperately. And I think it is, you know, a little bit. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about this place. I mean, I was born here. I grew up here.
That's right, I've been gone
20 years.
It's a great city.
It really is. It really is. It has a bad rap, but, you know, they're trying to do the filming here and the shows and whatnot. So, slowly but surely.
Are you a Red Wing fan or a Pistons fan or a Tiger fan or a Lions fan?
All the above. How can you live here and not, you know?
Other than the Pistons, they all did well, and they're doing well.
Yeah, what happened to the Pistons? I don't know. They, you know, 20 years ago, they were rocking and rolling.
See, I had a bad dream about them. And look what happened there. Hey, what's new with you, Nicole?
What's new? Well, the Institute is new, Divine Guidance Institute and Wellness Center.
And what is that?
Soon to be to have an actual location, but at this point, we do counseling and therapy and dream therapy, and we do house calls, and we have our 5 books. Do it yourself if you don't want to have an actual session. You know, so we've kind of got all of our bases covered that way, as well as being a nonprofit, so we can offer our services for free as well. And, we've got our latest book that just came out, A Personal Roadmap for Knowing. I'm all about knowing, George. I want to know what's coming around the corner.
Do our dreams help us health-wise?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've got a great story.
All right.
Real short. Had a client at a dream workshop. She had a dream. Real simple. In the dream, she had the symbol for lead. And we're doing the workshop, and then, we decode dreams as a group and whatnot. And she had been wondering about her health. It was failing all along, and this symbol for lead. And then in the dream workshop, it dawned on her. It was really cool. She had, you know, an epitome at that moment, epiphany, rather. And it being that she had worked with lead for 20 years in some factory.
Ooh.
This is in L.A., actually. And it was the lead poisoning was causing the health issues. And so the doctors couldn't figure it out, but sure enough, the dream guidance, the message, gave her the solution.
That's a great story. Nicole, when we come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, let's talk about how people can remember their dreams. You know, there's that old saying that some people say, I can't remember anything, but everybody dreams. We'll be back in a moment with Nicole Sebastian on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Nicole Sebastian before we get into open lines. Here we are with Nicole Sebastian. Nicole, some people say they don't dream. I'm sure they do. They just don't remember them. How can they improve that?
Yeah, you're right on the money, George. Everyone dreams 4 to 6 times a night. 3 really simple tips for remembering dreams. Merely intending to remember your dream before you go to sleep. That's one way. Tonight, I will remember my dream. The mere intention will assist in the process. A second method is to hew when you lay down before you fall asleep. Real simple. I'll give you a quick demo. You inhale and on the exhale, George, H-U, hew. It aligns you with soul. It aligns you with your higher self. It calms the central nervous system. It's actually an ancient universal name for God as well. And that's where the word human comes from, George. God within man, human, hew. And 1 to 5 minutes, you know, before you fall asleep, you can hew. And the last piece, and I think this is critical, when you wake up in the morning, you have to lay still and keep your eyes closed.
Why?
When you keep your eyes closed, you're still connected to the other dimensions, the places you were traveling while you were asleep. And in that moment, it allows you to download. I call it downloading. You download the dream to the physical and to the mental, and thereby you're able to recall and then journal the dream.
Okay, so if you start journaling, you start remembering, how prolific do we get? Does it get better and better and better?
Yes, like building a bicep, like at the gym, that type of thing. And I'll tell you, the most I've tracked on one night, journaled 14 dreams, George. Wrote down 14.
Wow. So different dreams?
Yes, entirely different dreams, 14. Yeah, so they say 4 to 6, but really, I think it's all night long if you want to know the truth.
How did this happen to me? I had this dream once. I liked the dream. It was kind of neat. Phone rang, woke me up. I answered it, da-da-da-da-da, went back to sleep. I was able to connect with that dream again where I left off. How does that happen?
Oh, how wonderful. We call it dream threading, actually. And it's exactly that. You had the dream, you woke up for a minute, whatever the case, the phone, the bathroom, whatever, and you go back to sleep right back into that dream. And some people become really proficient at that, George, the dream threading. And I think you're just able to tap right into that same level of consciousness you were at in the dream state, and that allows us to tap right into that.
Give us a technique, Nicole, to program ourselves in our dream state so we can use that to benefit our daily lives.
Okay. One of my favorites is programming the dream prior to sleep. You lay down, you do several hews, and you ask a question. Any question, anything you want to know. Is the world going to end in 2012? Is my spouse cheating? Is my son on drugs? Should I invest in this stock? Should I move to California? You know, these types of questions. That's programming your dream, something you really are sincere about that you want to know. And by the third night, you will remember the dream and you will receive an actual answer. Now, along with that, use the pros and cons that the mental faculty allows you, you know, good judgment and whatnot. But I like to call it confirmation through the dream state. Confirmation through your gut, your intuition, your dreams, and you can also set up a sign while you're awake. We call them waking dreams, to confirm your choice.
When people dream, is it like dying?
Well, you know, St. Paul spoke of dying daily in the Bible, and it is my belief, my viewpoint and perspective, that that's exactly what he was referring to, dying daily, in the sense that, A, heaven must be won every day. You know, that state of consciousness has to be attained. It's very hard to hold here in the physical. But additionally, when we sleep, we dream, and when we dream, we travel. We soul travel to other dimensions or planes, states of consciousness. And in that perspective, we do die daily. Every night when we go to sleep, we go through that process of soul leaving the body. And essentially, that's what happens, you know, when we tap out. So,
Nicole, where is the dream when we dream? Is it in our head? or is it in another dimension?
I believe they're one and the same. In our mind, in our head, as you mentioned, as well as different dimensions, soul taps into these different planes of existence, these different dimensions, and depending on where we are in our travels, depends on what dream fragments return with us.
Some time ago, I had a dream of massive hurricanes and flooding in California. What do some of those things mean?
Well, one of two things. Either it was a prophetic in the larger sense, and maybe, you know, you witnessed that within the climate.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, George, it's about our personal world. Tornado usually means things are out of control, whirling about within our world, and we need to get some alignment and some harmony going on,
uh-huh.
as well as with the hurricane or the flood. It could be a flood of emotions, and, you know, we're just too emotional at that time, and we need to get it together.
So it could be about me.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So how do you know what it is, though? So you dream about tornadoes. You dream about flooding. How in the heck do you tie that into your day-to-day life?
As long as one is not in a real state of denial, you ask yourself the question, what's going on in my life right now? And within that, what was on my mind yesterday within 24 hours, by asking yourself that question, it'll clue you into the dream. Is it prophetic? Is it about me? Is it about the worldly events? Given that context, you'll be able to decode, and by tracking is most important, and by following it for a few months, you become quite proficient, and you'll be real quick to identify, this dream is about me, and it's prophetic. This dream is a warning. This dream is about, you know, this type of thing.
What's a dream sensor?
Dream sensor gets in there, and that's why you'll dream of an armadillo and a pink elephant, and you'll say to yourself, what the heck is that? And most people say, that can't mean anything, and they disregard the dream. Therein lies the dream sensor. It is to protect our fragile ego from being harmed. And it steps down the dream, if you will. Instead of hard-hitting truth coming through, it kind of waters down the message. And that's where the decoding process comes in for accurate discernment.
Some people have strange dreams. They dream of falling. They dream of running, but they are not going anywhere. They dream about their teeth falling out. What do these mean?
Great story for you. Teeth falling out. Typically, it represents you talk too much or you don't talk enough. It's all about It's all about communication. And and another recent workshop, a client came up to me and, you know, she said, hey, you know, the dream, the teeth falling out. And I said, oh, communication, you know, either too much or not enough. And she said, you know, I've been in therapy for 8 years, and that's what the therapist said. And she said, can you believe I spent all that time and all that money on a therapist? And I'm a therapist myself, but I'm going to tell you, look to your dreams for the quick economical answers. You don't need a therapist, truly. If you do, your dream will tell you that too. But really, all your answers are right there nightly, and they're free.
Explain.
Well,
they're free.
Dream, free in terms of you don't need to pay for a prescription, you don't need to pay for a therapist or a shrink. You've got your dream guidance right there. Trust yourself. Go within for the real answers. And it happens nightly, you know, 4 to 6 times at least. And, you know, but back to the other one, the molasses, you're running, you feel like the molasses and you can't get ahead.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere. You're just spinning.
That's probably an actual, right there, that's the message interpreted. You're not getting anywhere. You need to, you know, reevaluate your priorities, your goals, and this type of thing.
Sexual dreams, what do they mean?
Getting intimate with an aspect of an individual that would benefit your own character. In other words, let's say you dream of, oh, heck, I don't know, someone you admire. Maybe you know the person, maybe you don't, but maybe it's a celebrity or maybe it's, you know, your cousin, heck, I don't know.
But not necessarily someone you want to date or anything like that.
Not at all. Just about incorporating an aspect of that person that you are fond of in terms of maybe they're wealthy, or maybe they're very humble, you know, and you want to work on your ego. So then you dream of having sex with that person, and it's just letting you know to, hey, let's try to be a little bit more humble, you know, this type of thing.
Hmm. What about demonic type dreams, Nicole?
Woo woo. Very real, George. Let's just say that out of the gate. But first, let's go to responsibility. Nothing can harm us unless we allow it. So if we're having such psychic intrusions, entities, ghosts, the psychic nightmares and whatnot, it's our own fault. We're going to start right there. But the good news, we can prevent it from further, you know, occurrences, and we can also prevent it from ever happening with a few quick techniques. My favorite, George, the hue. The hue builds up your aura, your auric field, and it allows, I call it spiritual insulation. And that, you know, allows actually nothing to penetrate your mind, your psychic space, your aura, by merely hueing. Additionally, it's about having good self-confidence, not ego, but I mean self-esteem, self-confidence, to where you don't play the victim role.
Mm-hmm.
Because that victim role also allows those things to come in, to bug on us, to attach to us, that intrusion. And so you got to be careful.
If five people all dream a similar dream, does that mean they're all thinking about the same thing or they have the same issue?
I have found that, yeah, I could say based on my experience, people with the similar dreams it's typically a similar message to each one of them with a little bit of a twist, depending on their certain set of circumstances. Additionally, two people can actually hook up in the dream state. They'll bring back a slightly different twist on the dream.
Can you dream about somebody to enter their dream state to harm them?
Well, yes, George, I'm going to give it to you straight.
Sounds
yes,
like a
can.
Movie, doesn't it?
However, I do not recommend it. Because if that's, you know, someone's motive, you're going to incur a lot of karma. Oh, a lot of karma.
It comes back, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. So to ever all the millions of listeners that you have, leave that one alone, folks.
But that can be done.
Yes, absolutely, which is why I also say to the millions of listeners, try hueing for protection, building up your insulation. That way, anybody else that wants to bug on you, they don't have the opportunity.
I'm a believer that you can dream about somebody to influence them. You go to sleep, you let your dream state or your subconscious run with it, but that you somehow implant these thoughts and feelings in that person you're concentrating on. What do you think of that?
I absolutely think you're right. You know, it kind of reminds me of the movie Inception, George, you know?
Yep.
Absolutely. There's validity there. That's absolutely accurate information. But again, you know, reaping and sowing and this type of thing, you kind of got to be careful, you know?
Does it backfire?
Absolutely. The karma backfires, even if it's not recognized immediately. You know, sometimes karma takes a year or 2 years, 10 years, or another lifetime to come around. But, you know, so we don't recognize it often, George, the karmic payback. Something will happen, you know, 9 months from now, and you'll be thinking, why did that happen to me, you know? But maybe you're paying a debt from 9 months earlier, and you forgot about the scenario. So, yeah, it can be dangerous.
Where do night terrors fit in with all this?
I think they're the exaggerated version of a nightmare. And they are terrifying. That's why they call them night terrors. But through that, here's a beautiful technique, George. Rescripting. They use it in dream clinics. You can use it with your kids. And, you know, your listeners can use it. as well. You take the nightmare, whatever it is, and you change the ending on paper, and it changes it out here, it changes it on the inner, and you can rest easy. Rescript it.
So many people die in their sleep. How do we know that they haven't had heart attacks because of some nightmare that they were dreaming about?
George, you are on the money. You know, actually, half the time, that's what they claim. The nightmare, it actually was triggered. I mean, the heart attack, pardon me, was triggered by the nightmare that caused that person to die in the sleep or dream state.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot.
I think you're right on the money. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we can do to prevent that?
Hugh.
Yeah. And we don't mean Hefner.
No. You know, and I mention that technique often, but it's so beneficial and it's so simple, and it's one of my favorites, you know.
Give us that hue again, by the way.
Okay, here we go. Inhale.
And you do that before you go to sleep?
Yes, 1 to 5 minutes, or you can do it for a daily meditation, 5 to 20 minutes. You can sit on the couch. You know, you can be comfortable and cozy while you're doing it. You could even do it while you're driving if traffic's getting on your nerves. You could say a few hues, you know.
What is it about that tone that does this?
I think it's the vibration of hue, and your own pitch is perfect. Everyone's own pitch, whatever hue comes out of them is perfect for them. And I believe it's the power of the word itself, because it's the ancient universal name for God. You know, Michael and I, my husband, we did all the research, and it's in one of our books, Just Say Hue. We did the research with all of the religions and all of their books, you know, from Christianity to the Druids and the Sufis and the Freemasons and you name it. And what we did, we took their sacred books, and we actually found the word hue in each of their sacred books, and we cited the references in our book. So the cool thing is that the hue, as an ancient universal sacred name for God, is the one word that we found in all the religions, George.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Give us a moment to tell us about your websites and your books.
Oh, well, thank you.
Of course.
Absolutely. Well, we have 5 books. They're all available in bookstores or through our website, e-version or hard copy. And you can simply go to, we have 2 websites. Simply trustyourself.tv, like television, trustyourself.tv, or onemagicword.com.
And that's one spelled out or the number?
The number one. And you can email me, you can send me a dream, you can buy a book, you can make a donation, anything you like.
All right. Well, when we come back in just a moment, we're going to be talking about your dreams. We're going to take your phone calls and have Nicole somewhat interpret them for you right here on coasttocoastam.com, and of course all the websites she gave us. If you haven't had time to write it down, we've got it linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be right back with your calls.